Acts. We've got 24 and 25. Not all of 25, I don't think. But a bit of it anyway. Yes, it's the first trial of Paul. Not really a trial, to be honest, but, well, it was, but anyway. The trial before Felix, and the trial before Festus, and then the trial before Agrippa, really. But it's the first two trials we're going to be looking at here. Yes, okay. Right, well, let's pray, shall we? See how we get on. Lord, this is history from your book, Lord, so there's lessons to learn. Pray, Lord, you'll help us as we follow in your servant Paul's footsteps, his story, Lord, and about the things that you did in his life, Lord, that he learned to trust you, learned to follow you, Lord, through some very difficult places. Lord, we may learn those lessons too, Lord. So just pray you help us and grant us your guidance in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you remember Paul was shipped off rather hastily towards Caesarea on the coast to get him out of Jerusalem. And then as soon as he was out of Jerusalem, the centurion told the locals that he'd been sent up north and they had to go there if they were going to have a trial. So they fairly get quickly organized. It says 5 days later, the high priest Ananias went down to Caesarea with some of the elders and a lawyer named Tertullus. So they got their act together pretty quickly. I mean, they got a bunch of them organized within 5 days. They're on their roads, yeah? And the high priest Ananias, what party does he belong to?
Sadducees.
Sadducees, yes. He's one of them that don't believe much, yeah? And he took some elders with him. What sort of elders do you think? Sadducees. I'm sure he did. Because the Pharisees are more or less on Paul's side at the moment anyway, yeah? And they've got a chap called Tertullus. They've got a lawyer in. Yes? They've got a lawyer. Why did they get a lawyer? The charges they want to make them law-based. And Tertullus is not a Jew, he's a Roman, I imagine, with a name like Tertullus. It comes from the word meaning the third son, you know, Tertius. Oh. Yeah, they name their sons 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Very good, isn't it? Yeah, it's hard to do it, yeah. Some of them, anyway, you know. Secundus was number 2. Primus was number 1. Tertius, number 3. Right. Well, you want to do something when you've got a large number of kids in the family, I suppose.
I said that was
number 8. All right, yeah. Octavius. You'd be all right, yeah. Right, okay. Yes, so they get this lawyer called Tertullus, and he's going to make the case sound as bad as possible as far as Paul is concerned. That's his job. He's the lawyer for the prosecution, remember? And so he's going to put spin on it to make it sound as bad as possible. Yeah, so the lawyer turns up, and they brought charges against Paul before the governor. So it's a court scene, the governor's there. When Paul was called in, Tertullus presented his case before Felix. Yeah, so the lawyer comes in. This is a shortened version, I'm sure, of what went on. Luke is giving us the bones, but we start with this. He starts by saying, "We have enjoyed a long period of peace under you, and your foresight has brought about great reforms in the nation. Everywhere and in every way, most excellent Felix, we acknowledge this with profound gratitude." Yeah? What do you call that?
That's what you call that.
That's called...
Yeah.
Buttering him up.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a wonderful guy you are. Do you know, when this Felix stopped in the next year or so being governor there, the Jews lodged a petition against him in Rome. Yeah? He was that nasty, they hated him that much. But we've enjoyed your role, you know, so get him on his right side, you know, that's the idea. Yeah? And the end, I think it's really quite good. "But in order not to weary you further, I would request you to be kind to hear us briefly." Yeah? I suspect what had happened is that this guy's gone on so long buttering him up, the guy's beginning to get a bit tired of it. Mm. And he's noticed and he thinks, "Oh well, we've got to call a halt to it now. So yeah, don't want to say any more, sir. We'll get on with the charges." Right, now then. "We have found this man to be a troublemaker, stirring up riots among the Jews all over the world." So that's his first statement, yeah? "We have found him." That sounds like they've got evidence. Yeah, they haven't got any evidence because he wasn't a troublemaker. Yeah, "all over the world." Well, what he means is the Roman world, of course. And he's got some of the people who've been around in different places, Ephesus and places like that, where there were riots. Who started the riots?
The Jews.
The Jews did. It wasn't all the locals, you know, the locals in Ephesus, of course, but it was Jews that caused the riots as well. It wasn't Paul any time, but that's what they're spinning it, you know, make it sound bad. He's a ringleader of the Nazarene sect. Yes, the Nazarene sect is the ones that come from Nazareth, yeah. Up there. It's a way of, bit of a put down, really, you know, that's really, he's involved as one of the ringleaders of a nasty bunch, is really the way he's putting it, yeah. And he even tried to desecrate the temple. Yes, well, that's the charge they're making as well. Mm. Troublemaking, desecrating the temple. So we seized him. Oh, they didn't seize him, they tried to kill him, which is a rather different thing, yeah?
What were they referring to with desecrating the temple?
They were accusing Paul of taking Gentiles into the temple area where they weren't allowed. That was the idea, yes. Yeah, right. Okay? So we seized him. By examining yourself, you will be able to learn the truth about all these charges we are bringing against him. So, basically he's saying is, that's my case, you listen to him now and find out if really what we've said is true. Yeah. So, Paul is allowed to say it for himself. Of course, they've got these, the Jews joined in the accusation, asserting that these things were true. Yes, do you know why the Jews joined in the accusation, asserting these things were true? Yeah?
Because they didn't like him.
But, I've got news for you. Before they arrived in court, they'd had a confab to decide on what they were going to say about it. Yeah. So they were agreed before they started.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a stitch-up, essentially, that's what it was, yeah. So, they're like, yes, it's him, he's the rotten so-and-so, send him down, have him done. Yeah, that's the idea. And so, Paul says, when the governor motioned for him to speak, so he nodded to him or something like that, yeah, Paul replied, so Paul's got to say his bit. I know that for a number of years you've been a judge over this nation, so I gladly make my defence. That's a bit different to the butter, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's saying, you're the judge, so here I am, I'm glad he's in court. Yeah. Now, and he says this, you can easily verify that no more than 12 days ago I went to Jerusalem to worship. Yeah? So you check it out if you like. I went to Jerusalem to worship. If he's going to Jerusalem to worship, what's he not going to do? He'll start riots and desecrate the temple.
Mm.
Yeah? He's going there for good reasons.
Right.
My accusers did not find me arguing with anyone at the temple or stirring up a crowd in the synagogue or anywhere else in the city. Fact. And they cannot prove to you the charges they are now making against me. However, so he's saying, as far as the charges are concerned, no case to answer. However, I admit that I worship the God of our fathers as a follower of the way, which they call a sect. So, this is, Paul's getting onto the bits he likes now. I mean, they've given him the chance to talk about Jesus. So, give him a chance and he's off, yeah? So, I admit, I'm a follower, I worship the God of our fathers. Why did he say the God of our fathers? He's talking to, Felix wasn't a Jew, but he had a Jewish wife. Yeah? Basically saying is, you know, we're no different. We're just Jews that want to worship the Messiah. That's all we are. No, nothing special about us in that sense. We're just the same, yeah? So, we worship the God of our fathers as a follower of the way. And what's the way? It's called, it's the old name of Christianity, well, the early name of Christianity. Yeah? And it was named after Jesus being the way, of course, yeah? Which they call a sect. Why do they call it a sect? Because they don't agree with them. That's basically it, yeah. I believe everything that agrees with the law and that is written in the prophets. Well, that's a good start, isn't it? Now, I like Paul. Do you know why? He believes the Bible.
Yeah.
Yes? When he says the law and the prophets, do you know what he's using? Well, he's talking Jewish terms now.
Yeah.
What is the law and the prophets?
Jewish
it's
Bible.
The Old Testament, the whole of the Old Testament. Normally they call it the law, the prophets and the writings, yeah? But sometimes they just lumped it all together as law and prophets, yeah? And so what he's saying is, I believe cover to cover. That's really what he's saying. Yeah? Now then, there are people around today that say they believe the Bible, but they don't believe half of it. I call them the scissor men. You know? They've got scissors out and they cut out the bits they don't like. Yeah? Trouble is, when you start putting bits out you don't like, you'll find out the whole book's gone.
Yeah.
Not before time, yeah? But anyway, Paul believes it all, and I'm glad he does. And do you know why? Do you know why Paul believes it all?
Because it's still God's word.
It's God's word. That's great, yes. And there's another reason. Jesus backed it up as well.
Mm.
Yeah? Let me just take you to the end of Luke, if you like. Just a quick flick to the end of Luke's gospel. On the road to Emmaus. Remember?
Maybe,
Matthew, Mark, Luke. End of Luke. On the road to Emmaus, he spoke with those disciples. And then, when they saw that it was him, they went back to Jerusalem, and Jesus turns up. When Jerusalem, they had to run, he just turned up. Great, isn't it? Having a resurrection body. It's Luke chapter 23, 4. And in verse 44. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still speaking, still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Well, the Psalms means the writings again, yeah? Okay, so what is Jesus saying is, everything in the book has to be fulfilled. It's God's word. Jesus believed that. Well, if you don't like some of the bits in the Bible and you start cutting it out, you've got more than a problem than the bits, you've got a problem with Jesus. Yeah, because Jesus believed it too, yeah? Now, Paul, back to Paul. I believe everything that's in the law and the... what's the law, by the way? Do you know what the law is? As far as the Bible's concerned, it's the first five books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's called the law. Yeah, and then you have
the prophets
are the history books and the other bits and the other writings and all that. Yeah, okay. Because they didn't have a New Testament then, you know. Yeah.
Well, they thought that was new, didn't they?
Well, it was that.
It was new for
them. It applies. Yes, it applies. Yes. Yeah, but there was a promise. There's a promise which I will be talking about next week, but. In Jeremiah 33, I think it's that. Let's have a look. See if I'm wrong. Isaiah, Jeremiah 33. Promise of restoration. Could be wrong here, chaps. I am wrong, yes, I am wrong. Well, where is it then?
I'll do a search. Go on, tell me what the passage is.
The passage is, in those days I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant I made with them before, which they broke.
Absolutely.
The promise of a new covenant.
Sorry, Jeremiah 31, days are coming.
31! That was closer, wasn't it? 33. There you are. Well, let's have a look. Chapter 31. 31, yes. So, this is in the Old Testament, remember? Yeah? And God says, "This is the covenant I will make in the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I'll put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." That is the new covenant. Yes, that's the new covenant that Jesus introduces, and the new covenant has then got some more writings to back it up, which is the New Testament. Yeah. Anyway, that's another story, isn't it? Yeah. Let's carry on, back to the trial. Where were we? yes.
Verse
15. 15, thank you, Tom. Yeah. I have the same hope as in God as these men, that there will be a resurrection both of the righteous and the wicked. Yes. Now, it's interesting that Paul says that. I have the same hope as these men. Now, who's he looking at? Is he looking at the Sadducees gang, or some of the Jews that have turned up?
Some Jews, isn't he?
I suspect he's looking at... Yeah?
He says that he believes in the resurrection,
right,
like the other people, but the Sadducees think...
The Sadducees don't. So, I think, in a way, it's stirring it for them as well, you know. Just to say, I believe in the resurrection. To you lot, yeah? Because it's true, yeah? I believe there's a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked.
Yeah.
Did you know that? Mm-hmm. In other words, everybody's going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. The good ones and the bad ones. And what's going to happen then?
Judgment.
Right. What happens to the good ones?
Hey?
They're called righteous. Why are they called righteous?
Because they've been clothed.
That's right. Yes. Well, two things, yes. They're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. That is their justification. But also, they've sought to live in a way that honours the life that God's given them.
Yeah.
Whereas the wicked, they don't want to know. And so then God says, okay, that's your choice. You won't know forever now. So that's the judgment against them. So as a result of that, he says, I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. Right, so if you know that you're going to have to face God in the judgment for your life, not for your salvation. You got this, yeah? You got that? As a believer, you're not standing before God for salvation. That's, Jesus has done all of that. But you're going to be judged on the things you've done with the life that God's given you. Yes? That's right. Remember, well, I better take you to Matthew 25 then, don't I? Now, I do know this. Matthew 25 is the right one, yes? Look at Matthew 25. Matthew 25. And it's verse 31. Sheep and the goats. Yes? When the Son of Man comes in his glory, with all his angels with him, he will sit on his throne of heavenly, in heavenly glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Now he's not talking about sheep and goats. He's talking about people. Some people are sheep, meaning they're righteous. And some people are goats, meaning they're wicked. And then he says to the, what does he say? Verse 34, the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. And I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you in sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And then he'll say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you did not give me a drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. And they will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Now, question is, why do the righteous do what the righteous do?
Because
they're sheep. Right? The righteous are the sheep. Why do sheep things? Because sheep have a nature that's sheepish. Yeah?
Right?
Well, yeah, as the Lord commanded, yes? Right? Well, I've got news for you. I've said this before, but it's worth saying again. Every one of us is born a goat. Yeah? We've got Adam's sin on our account, that's the starters. We've got Adam's nature, so we want to do what we want to do rather than what God wants to do. That's the selfish life that we have as well. So we're all born goats. So how do goats turn up as sheep?
By being reborn.
By being reborn. A new nature. That's it, yes. Made new through faith in Jesus, right? And when you've got a new life, this is all for next Sunday really, yeah? When you've got a new life as a sheep, you start doing sheep things. Okay? Right? And that's what you're going to be judged on. How much of a sheep have you been? Right?
And surely, and he's got things for each one of us to do.
Yes.
So we've got to listen to what each one of us has got to do.
That's Ephesians chapter 2, 3.
Go on, ask me a word and I'll do another search.
But we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared beforehand for us to do. That's Ephesians chapter 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
You get me running around tonight.
Ephesians 2:10. Yes, we are God's workmanship in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we're God's workmanship. Another, you know, a lovely translation that I came across of that phrase, God's workmanship. It's your God's masterpiece. That lovely, eh?
Yeah.
Created in Jesus to do the things that God wants us to do. Yeah. So let's get back to Paul. He says, so, verse 16. So I always strive to keep my conscience clear before God and man. So I'm trying to live it. Yeah? I'm trying to live it the way God wants me to do. Then he carries on. After an absence of several years, because he'd been on missions, yeah? After an absence of several years, I came to Jerusalem to bring my people gifts for the poor and to present offerings. If you read Corinthians, he talked about the collection that they made to help the poor in Jerusalem, yeah? And so, he says, I came with these gifts, yeah? And when he mentions that, what do you think Felix does?
Wait for money.
There might be something in this for me, yes? Remember, Felix is not a nice guy. Yeah? Right. I was ceremonially clean when they found me in the temple courts doing this. So I wasn't defiling the temple. I was doing my bit about the offerings. Remember that, yeah?
Yeah?
There was no crowd with me, nor was I involved in any disturbance. But there are some Jews from the province of Asia who ought to be here before you and bring charges if they have anything against me. So he says, it's not them that's causing the trouble, it's that lot out there, and they haven't come. Or, these who are here should state what crime they found in me when I stood before the Sanhedrin. Remember the trial in the Sanhedrin? He says, well, what was the crime they found in there? Unless it was this one thing I shouted as I stood in their presence. It is concerning the resurrection of the dead that I'm on trial before you today. So he's just going over what had happened already and making his case. Then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings. So, no judgment today, he adjourns the proceedings. He says, this chap Felix was well acquainted with the way.
Well, how?
How did he get to know about Christians?
He'd heard it all the time in the court, I'd say.
Might have. His wife, who he'd nicked from his brother,
she
was in the royal court, and around that was the time when the Christians were all getting brought before the courts and things like that. So she'd have heard of that anyway, yeah? So, familiar with the Christian stuff, yeah? So, he adjourns the proceedings, and he says, when Lysias, the commander, comes, he's the chap from Jerusalem, I will decide your case. So, just wait for him to turn up, and it'll all be fixed. Short time, no problem, yeah? He ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom, and permit his friends to take care of his needs. So he's not really imprisoned, he said, you know, just keep him there for safekeeping.
Yeah, he's off
him
a little bit.
Well, he is, yes. But he says, just make sure he's okay and his friends can come and look after him a bit and provide things he wants, yeah? Right. Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla. She was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control and judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, that's enough for now, you may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you. So he asked Paul to come and talk on his own to Paul. He wanted to hear what all this way stuff was about. I think there was a curiosity bit about him.
Yeah,
interested. And Paul starts talking about, what's he start talking about?
I think he got a bit fearful as well.
Righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come.
Yeah.
Well, Felix is definitely in the goats sector at the moment.
Yeah.
Righteousness, not a lot. Self-control, no self-control whatsoever. Yeah, and all of this will lead to the judgment to come. So he gets worried. Paul was having a go at him, but he was trying to. What was he trying to do? Get him saved.
Yeah,
that was the point. He wanted him to turn to Christ. That was the idea. Felix is afraid. That's enough for now. Yes. Yes. I'll call you when it's convenient. When's it convenient?
Yeah,
never happened.
No.
Never happened. Yeah. God in his mercy sometimes, you know, not many people come to Christ straight away, do they? I mean, you know, God gets at them a few times, sort of thing. But, you know, you keep putting it off, and it gets harder and harder for him to get through. Yeah.
I think when he started telling them the truth about going in front of God and being judged frightened him.
Yes.
And he didn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know,
no. Well, it
had
to worry, yes.
Well,
it should worry you.
Yeah.
But the point is, Paul would get, I mean, what Paul would aim to do, he'd tell him, you know, this is the prospect of those that live like you, sir.
Yeah.
And then he would say, but God has provided a way of forgiveness and cleansing through the Messiah's death and resurrection. Yeah. Well, he didn't get to that bit because he said, that's enough for now. Right, you can go now. Right. But look at this. At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe. So he sent for him frequently and talked with him. But I bet he didn't get round to talking about judgments and righteousness again. As soon as that happened, he'd go now again. Yeah. Well, what's he hoping for? He keeps sending for Paul because he's heard about Paul getting gifts. So he must, and he's letting his friends come in. So his friends maybe have got access to a bit of cash. A little way to get him out of prison, you know? A little bribe. That's what he's after. Yeah?
Like pay.
Sorry?
Well, like
pay, what do you mean? Well, sort of. I suspect he could have dropped the charges altogether, you know. With a bit of a bribe, he'd do it, yes, I'm sure.
I should think this way, if he's... Really, people are focused on him just to see his character, really,
yeah.
And that he's trying to sort of rock the boat and see if he can knock his patience and things like that.
Well, it could well be that as well. Paul, what does he tell you about Paul? He's not going to pay him a bribe. No.
Well, he hasn't got any money of his own anyway, has he?
Well, he probably hasn't. But, I mean, if he was wanting, he suppose he could have got something if he wanted to, but, yeah, he's not going to do it.
I think it was Paul, with God's help, has been remarkably patient.
Amazing. Well, you say that, Drill, and it's true, because verse 27 says, when 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. And because Felix wanted to grant a favour to the Jews, he left Paul in prison. 2 years! And he said, when Lysias comes, we'll decide your case. Well, he didn't decide his case. 2 years went on. Right. And what... Well, just a thing, we'll ask you a question, yeah. 2 years of all of this, and then he says, Porcius Festus, he's the next guy, he was a better guy by all accounts from the historians of the day, and he wanted to grant a favour to the Jews. Well, that's a nice way of putting it, he's trying to buy the Jews off, because he was in such bad news with the Jews, that when he was relieved of his duties, it was only his brother's intervention with Caesar that stopped him getting killed. Yeah, he was that bad, yeah? And the Jews had sent this petition against him, complaining about all his nasty little ways. So, what he's hoping to do is, so they won't say such a nasty things about him in their letter, that's what it's about, trying to gain the favour. So, he's doing the dirty on Paul to save his own skin. Something new there?
No.
Well, let me ask you, this is the question I've got no answer for, but you can think about it. What do you think Paul did during those 2 long years in Caesarea's prison house?
I
think yes, he'd be witnessing, and I suspect because there was some degree of access to the outside, the Caesarea church would probably be coming to see him as well, and he'd be ministering to them. That'd be my guess, yeah.
Is it
having
a palace or something?
Or it is a type of a palace area, yes. Yeah. It's posher.
Really.
It's not, it's a yeah, house arrest in a sense, yeah.
He'd pray as well.
He'd be praying, he'd be, well, going on in his faith, I think, yeah. I just wonder, we don't have any evidence of this, but you know, one of the reasons that God had a reason for getting Paul locked up.
Yeah.
Do you know what it was?
Because, well, he knew the way forward and he needs some time to... Just take it in.
Yeah, well, Paul, he's done all his missionary journeys.
Look at himself and think what he's got to say.
Well, yeah. But Paul's done all his missionary journeys. He's done all the running he's going to be doing in his life, just about, yeah, round about the different parts of the world. Yeah.
To strengthen himself.
But what's the next phase of Paul's life's work?
Writing.
Yeah? Paul has to, I mean, Paul's a dynamo, he can't sit still, I suspect, he's just that kind of guy, yeah? How do you get somebody to write who can't sit still? Yeah. You lock him up!
Yeah.
He did it with John Bunyan! Yeah. John Bunyan was the preacher who went all over the place. How did he come to write Pilgrim's Progress? Lock him up in Bedford! It's the only way to do it, yeah? So, God was in the process of preparing Paul to do the writings. We're going to get most of the New Testament from this guy. So,
and he'd be getting other people in place to Paul
yes.
as well.
God's at work. So, you know, in spite of the injustice, the system stacked against him, all the favours and bribery that's going on all around, Paul is being moved by God into the right place. You've got to learn to trust God when you can't see how it's going to work out, you know. That's how it is, yeah? So, chapter 25, just a little bit more now. So, Festus is the new kid on the block. Yeah, the new Roman governor on the block, yeah. 3 days after arriving in the province, Festus went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. So he's popping down to see how things are going down in Jerusalem. When the chief priests and the Jewish leaders appeared before him and presented the charges against Paul. So as soon as they arrived, they're having a go at him to have a go at Paul. This is after 2 years. You thought that he'd calm down, wouldn't you?
No.
They urgently requested Festus as a favour to them to have Paul transferred to Jerusalem. For they were preparing an ambush to kill him along the way. Well, there's a new one there. They were going to try that before, weren't they? So the plan was, bring Paul back, and while he's on his way, he won't arrive. Festus answered, Paul is being held at Caesarea, and I myself am going there soon. Let some of your leaders come with me and press charges against the man there, if he has done anything wrong. I suspect he thought, what have this lot up to?
Yeah.
He's a bit of a wily guy, is our Festus. Yeah. But, isn't it interesting, I think this is God's doing, he went straight away down to Jerusalem, and so his next stop is back in Caesarea. So it's natural for him to say, well, I'm going to Caesarea, bring yourselves, and we'll go and see him there, rather than fetching Paul back. Yeah, it seems natural, but God's engineered it. Paul is staying in Caesarea, he's not coming back to Jerusalem. Yeah. After spending 8 or 10 days with them, he went down to Caesarea, and the next day he convened the court and ordered that Paul be brought before him. So he's not messing about. Soon as he's back in Caesarea, get the stuff sorted, get Paul in front of him, find out what's going on. When Paul appeared, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him, bringing many serious charges against him, which they could not prove. Of course they couldn't, because they were all lies. Yeah. What does Jesus say when people lie about you? It's in Matthew chapter 4, 5. Somewhere there. It's the Beatitudes. Yeah. Blessed are you when
when
men say all sorts of ten things about you unjustly for my sake. Rejoice and be glad, because that's how they treated these people before. Let me see if I can find it, yeah. Chapter 5. Yeah. Verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So there's Paul listening to all this stuff. I wonder if he felt rejoicing and like being glad at the time. I don't know, but anyway, he's got those words to hang on to. Then Paul made his defence. I've done nothing wrong against the law of the Jews, or against the temple, or against Caesar. Now that was the case they were trying to stick on him, that he was doing something that was anti-Roman. Yeah. And so that's what they're having a go at. Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favour, said to Paul, are you willing to go to Jerusalem and stand trial before me there on these charges? So he wants to keep them on his side, you know. Having quarrelsome Jews in Jerusalem is not good news. So that's, he's saying, if we can make them happier, will you come back to Jerusalem and we'll have the trial there? Paul answered, I am now standing before Caesar's court, where I ought to be tried. And he's telling the judge this, isn't he? He says, this is a Roman court, you should be doing the job, not passing it on to them. I have not done any wrong to the Jews, as you yourself know very well. If, however, I am guilty of doing anything deserving death, I do not refuse to die. Don't worry me, I can die any time, no problem, yeah? But you're not getting me pinned with this one, yeah? But if the charges brought against me by these Jews are not true, no one has the right to hand me over to them. Because he knows he'll be killed.
Yeah.
And then he says this, I appeal to Caesar. That's, go take it to the highest court. That's what he's saying. I appeal to Caesar. After Festus had conferred with the council. So as soon as he hears that, he's going to discuss it with his lawyers and all the other bots. Yeah. He says, and he declared, you have appealed to Caesar, to Caesar you will go. Paul's just got his ticket to Rome.
Yeah.
And Jesus had told him this some years before, you know.
Going to Rome.
Right? You are going to Rome, Paul.
Yeah.
It's taken 2 years. See, God doesn't rush things like we'd like to rush them, yeah? But there you are. So, Paul, you're going to Rome. Well, we're going to stop there, because the next bit is King Agrippa comes, and it's quite an amusing little bit, that. I think it's an amazing story. So we'll continue with that next time. Yeah. There's just one big problem. I'll give you a little clue to what the next one is. The big problem is, Paul says, I want my case to be judged by Caesar. Yeah? Problem is, what's the case? They haven't got anything. So he's going to try and work out what he can write on his letter to Caesar saying, I've sent this guy because. Because they haven't got any because at the moment. So that's the problem. That's what chapter 25 and the next bit does, tries to sort out the because. They don't get anywhere, but there you are. We will leave it at that. Yes? Right. So what I'm trying to get at is, how do you cope with the injustices and the delays and all of that?
Patience.
Grace. And I suspect, you know, that while Paul was in Caesarea, he did have fellowship. You know, he wasn't on his own. God brought people alongside him.
Yeah.
I should imagine Philip, you know, the evangelist chap who lived in Caesarea?
Mm-hmm.
He probably popped in to see him as well. So, you know, it's good to have fellowship. When you're struggling, don't try to struggle on your own, you know. Fellowship is a bit of a help sometimes. So I'm speculating there, but I'm pretty sure that's what did happen. Yeah. Okay, let's pray, shall we? Father, we want to thank you for this servant of yours who was strong enough to stand against all the bribes and the insinuations, Lord. Wouldn't be easy, I'm sure, Lord. But he'd had a long career of facing a lot of opposition. Lord, he knew that you would be with him. And Lord, you promised that he would get to Rome. We thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you for the promises you've put in our lives. Lord, that those that put their trust in Jesus will not be put to shame. We may have a lot of troubles, Lord, maybe challenges and difficulties, but Lord, thank you. When it comes to standing before the King, when he gathers the world before him, Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus. You'll be able to say to us, because you've done something in our lives, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we want to be, Lord, like your servant Paul. Help us, we pray, to be faithful, even in the difficult and challenging times. And help us, Lord, to learn something more about patience, Lord, that you're not always in the hurry that we're in, Lord. You're working things out for your own wise and good purposes. Help us to trust you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.